It has been a wonderful weekend here at St. Monica's to be able to celebrate with our leaders and our staff, teachers, our young people, to celebrate this great week we call Catholic Schools Week. And we hold up unabashedly the fact that these two schools that we have here at St. Monica's, our two elementary school and high school, have been a core part of this community of faith. And sadly enough, I think for many people, it's almost like a secret. We come on Sunday and we fill this church and then we go home, and then I guess people think we kind of shut down for the week and just wait for you to come back. But in fact, some 900 students then arrive before 8 o'clock every Monday morning. And we have the incredible mission, the incredible gift to be able to share with these young little third graders, starting in kindergarten and going right up until the senior year in high school. So it's like Iowa, you know, you can do it all in this one little place called Santa Monica. And it's an extraordinary gift. It's essential to our ministry, and it's a great blessing. So I hope tonight, and first my little reflection on the scriptures, and then a beautiful family who I would like you just to speak a little bit about their experience of our two schools. I hope you receive that graciously, because it's given graciously to you tonight. I hope we'll just be open to hear that good word from this community of faith with sincerity and with love. The gospel today is for me, a great, great joy. It's the gospel about a man who, in the time of Jesus Christ, certainly not exclusively to that time, because in every time there is some kind of person who, like this man, was set aside by his own community, by his own flesh and blood. He was Korban. He was unclean. He was a person that if you touched, spoke to, recognized, even thought existed, you would become contagious. And you would become unclean. Imagine that. And so for the Jew, the pious Jew, to be able to come up and do what Jesus Christ did, reached over boundaries and somehow gave us the teaching of a lifetime. So what happened? Jesus walks into the synagogue, and this unclean man with an evil spirit, the scriptures say, shrieked out at him. And this voice in defense of any kind of healing pushed Jesus away, threatening that he would tell everyone who this person was. And Jesus looked at this man, touched him, turned to him, spoke to him, and said, "Come out of him." And he was released. He was healed by the power and the gift and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That alone is a teaching. My brothers and sisters, we are not here on Sunday just to feel good. We are not here on Sunday just to sing well. We are not here on Sunday just to fulfill some thing we think we need to do. We are here to be fed and nourished, to go out and to heal. You and I are called to heal a world that is in desperate need of people who have heard the word, received the Eucharist, and then turn right around and try to make some tiny little difference this week in this world. But there's a further teaching. And that teaching is, in the words of my dear friend Robert Frost, do you remember the poem? Entitled, "Mending Walls." Oh, come on, you must remember it. I remember it, my God. He says, there is something there in all of us that really does not love walls. And then he talks about his neighbor. And it's spring. And the hunters have come. And the ravages of winter have worn down his wall in his yard. The wall between himself and his neighbor's property. And so he and his neighbor meet in the first full bloom of spring to mend their wall. And our friend says, good fences make good neighbors. Do you remember that? Good fences make good neighbors. And Frost contests that and says, why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows? But there are no cows. Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know, what am I walling in? Or what am I walling out? And to whom I was likely to give offense. Now I know, my brothers and sisters, we need walls in this great city. We have coyotes and all kinds of things, and so we've got to make sure, you know, we take care. But in relationships, in our families, the people we know, especially the people who contest us or we contest, people who maybe not by that severe term korban, but certainly disconnected, separated, somehow. Do good walls make good neighbors? Not so sure. Now I know I built some good walls, and so I know that that's one way to do it. But I also know that when I don't do it, something beautiful for God happens in life. Let me give you an example. At this Mass, a family's been coming from Bakersfield every week to St. Monica's. Now, they've got to find a better pastor between here and Bakersfield. But here they are. And I didn't know they were coming from that far. I see them. And what I noticed is they came up and put their hand over their chest and got a blessing. I said, Bakersfield, 2 hours, St. Monica's, a blessing. So one Sunday, I just decided to reach out. And I said, my brother, my sister, how can I help you to re-invite you to the table? And so they told me some little bits and pieces of things. And I said, my brother and sister, we can heal that. Come to the table. That man was at Cornerstone this weekend, Friday, Saturday, renewed in faith. He came up to me just before a funeral I had here for a young 51-year-old man who died. He gave me this beautiful photograph of a nativity that was sitting on our steps at Christmas time, just in some tiny little way to say thank you. My sisters and my brothers, I'm not so sure. Good walls always make good neighbors. I think sometime we have to reach beyond it. Take a risk. Make the inquiry. Say the word. And you will be surprised. Something very, very beautiful of God, the Creator.